We find many examples of lay piety, to mention only one, a very familiar devotion to Catholics now, the Rosary. The Rosary grows in prominence in the 14th and 15th centuries. Yes, its origins reach back a little before that, perhaps really to the 12th century, but it's in the 14th and 15th that the Rosary begins to be a very common devotion among Catholics. So we do not find our Renaissance period to be irreligious, although it is a time of anti-clericalism and a time when the formal organized church is experiencing some big problems. Finally, then, the material conditions of life. The most devastating crisis of the age was caused by plague. Now, it must be said in the first place that a series of seasons of bad weather, of poor harvests, and of famine between 1315 and 1322 weakened Europe severely, put a final and definitive end to the great demographic and economic expansion of the preceding centuries, and serve as an important prelude to the conditions in which, just 20-some years later, the Black Death, a severe outbreak of bubonic plague, the first great plague in Europe in some 600 years, would have its effect. So the plague did not come to a Europe that was already thoroughly prosperous, happy, productive, and so on. It came to a Europe that had been severely weakened in the Great Famine of 1315 to 1322. Now, the story of the Black Death can be told relatively briefly. It appears the plague is carried by fleas that inhabit rats that get onto ships. Ships travel widely. The rats get off the ships. The fleas get off the rats and get on people, and the people get plague. Genoese ships appear to have picked up this particular plague in the Black Sea region, probably in 1346 and 1347, sailed to the west, and the plague then begins to spread up the Italian peninsula in 1347 and 8, crosses the Alps, and by 1348, 1349, has spread almost all over Europe. Now, curiously here, and sort of parenthetically, we might say, the very fact that the plague spread so fast is an indication to us of the increasing complexity and connectedness of life in this high medieval world. In the earlier Middle Ages, not that many people traveled that far that fast. The plague simply couldn't have spread as far and quick and as effectively as it did. Now, the outbreak of the plague in 1348-9 was serious. That was a big problem, no question about that. But the big problem, or the bigger problem, was that the plague kept coming back, beginning in 1363, and then again and again with alarming frequency until the 18th century. We are here, of course, well before the discovery of the germ theory of disease. People were helpless before this plague. They had no idea why it happened, and they had no idea, really, how to stop it. Now, the consequences of plague in Europe were many, and they were complex. There was, in the first place, tremendous mortality. 25 to 35% of the population overall. Heaviest concentrations of mortality in cities, in the very productive centers of Europe that we've talked about in a number of earlier lectures, and carrying off large numbers of the young and the most productive urban peoples. And then, of course, the priests and others who went to minister to them. The plague generated a certain amount of anxiety, a certain amount of hysteria, a certain amount of depression. Now, these were not the only sentiments of Renaissance Europe, as we'll see vividly in our next lecture, but these were sentiments that did exist. And sometimes when we look at the artwork and we see scenes of death, scenes of the macabre, scenes of the odd, we might remind ourselves of these conditions of plague. But these conditions of hysteria sometimes manifested themselves violently, sometimes, in other words, not just a manifestation of gloomy paintings. But no, sometimes in appalling attacks on the Jews who were scapegoated for the plague. It was a time when trade and finance were disrupted, when prices and wages fluctuated wildly and unpredictably all over Europe. It was a time of social insurrections. There were insurrections in England. There were insurrections in France. There were insurrections in many Italian towns, particularly in Florence. In many ways, economic recovery did not come in Europe until the age of European imperial expansion, when enormous amounts of wealth were generated outside Europe, pumped back into Europe, circulated in Europe, and made possible certain kinds of economic growth that had once characterized our expanding Europe of the High Middle Ages. All right, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that Renaissance Europe was a pretty tough place. It was a very difficult time. What we must now turn to is the question of what exactly was this Renaissance, having understood, I hope, a little something about the world against which that Renaissance played itself out.